Good afternoon. My name is Menachem Butler, and I'm the program fellow for Jewish Legal Studies at the Julius Rabinowitz Program on Jewish and Israeli Law at the Harvard Law School. And on behalf of our director, Professor Noah Feldman and Dr. Sukan, I am pleased to welcome you to attend our lecture this afternoon by Rabbanit Esti Rosenberg on the topic of Torah learning in an Israeli Beit Midrash for women, the case of Migdal Oz in Gush Etzion. Rabbanit Esti Rosenberg is the founder and head of the Stella K. Abraham Beit Midrash for Women of Yeshivat Har Etzion, the Beit Midrash Gavoa Lenashim Migdal Oz in Kibbutz Migdal Oz. She holds a degree in humanities from Hebrew University of Jerusalem and is a graduate of Matan and the Michala Jerusalem College. Previously, she served as the head of the Beit Midrash of the Israeli program in Midrash at Lindenbaum. She is the daughter of Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein and the granddaughter of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. In her lecture this afternoon, Rabbanit Esti Rosenberg will speak about the development and objectives of the Women's Beit Midrash of Migdal Oz and describe its curriculum of Gemara, Halakha, Tanakh, and Jewish thought. On a personal note, it is a great opportunity for us to host Rabbanit Esti Rosenberg at Harvard Law School today, as many graduates of Migdal Oz and her students have participated in our reading groups and classes at the Julius Rabinowitz Program on Jewish and Israeli Law at the Harvard Law School. Following her lecture, Rabbanit Rosenberg will be available to answer questions. To ask a question, please either raise your emoji hand or send me a message with your question and you will be called on. Rabbanit Rosenberg, the floor is yours.
Shalom lekulam. The word lecture is maybe a bit too bombastic for, it's more a discussion. What I want to talk about, it's not an academic lecture. The word lecture makes it very structured and, you know, built exactly. And I really want more to discuss and describe what happens in Migdal Oz or how I see the world of women's learning Torah in Israel today. What makes it more comfortable for me not to feel that I'm lecturing, that most of what I see here are black kubiot shchorot. I've literally no idea who or what I am talking to, what knowledge you really have or don't have, who are the people that are listening to this discussion. So that frees me from being too... That frees me a bit. So if we want a joint discussion, I'm inviting whoever has the ability to open their camera and then it can be more personal and more discussion. And if not, I want to thank whoever has an open camera and then I can see at least eyes that I can talk to. I think the Zoom overbroads our options of talking over crossed oceans, but it also has its limitations of how personal and how comfortable you can feel talking to a computer. So here I see at least Leah Sana that I love and know, so it makes it a bit more comfortable. I will try a bit to describe. Hi, Leah, thank you. Now I can look at you and at Hannah, who I don't know, but makes it in Mr. Shea J. Cohen, it makes it more comfortable for me. Okay, so now I'll try to describe how I see the world of women's learning Torah through the eyes of Migdal Oz. What are the challenges? What are the things that we have to think about? So I'll start maybe in the history part of you. Women's learning Torah was as a word, okay? We can talk about women learning Torah throughout, you know, Yelta and Bruria and Aruch HaShulchan's mother and a lot of other more famous women one by one, but I think what we want to relate to today is what we called Olam HaTorah LeNashim. Ech Olam HaTorah LeNashim, when does that start to develop? So I want to go maybe 35, 40 years ago and describe learning, women's learning Torah, Yerushalayim, which was more for sure came from the United States, which is more older Anglo-Saxon women that would started out learning Gemara in different groups. We can focus on Rav Bravender that had groups of women that he taught, then developed into Yeshivat HaMiftar for men, and then to what was called for years Bravenders, which now is today is Midrashet Lindenbaum of Or Torah Stone. But it started with older women who were used to learn in groups or in private homes. And about 30 years ago. And then also there were Israelis There was one Israeli institution called Machon Ora, Midrashet Shuva. Machon Ora and Midrashet Shuva were aimed towards Chozrot B'Tshuva, women that had no background in Judaism and wanted to become Orthodox, and they were taught. And I think it's a very interesting point that the Israeli word of Torah started B'Chozrot B'Tshuva, because no one thought there was a reason teaching you if you're already part of the Brit. If you're really religious, you already knew something, that there was no reason of teaching Torah Lishma. The only reason 35 years ago to teach women Torah in an organized institution was that you really had no background. But if you had a religious background, you went to a religious high school, there was no reason really to focus on to teach women more than they were taught in high school. And I won't, this is not the, I think the framework to discuss how poor was the high school curriculum, and maybe still is in Israel. It was, of course, the word that I grew up in over more than 40 years ago in Israel. There was no subject called Gemara. And my father had a lot of, it really bothered him that we learned Toshba. And there's a couple of quotations of his. So he wrote about it, that Toshba is not a subject. He said, yesh halacha, yesh gemara, yesh mishnah, ma ze toshba. But that was the subject that I learned in class. It was called toshba. I also learned later, when I graduated high school, I went to Mechlela of Beit Vegan. There was no organized midrashot or batei midrash for women. And I went, except I said, for chozot b'tshuva. So I went to Mechlela in Beit Vegan. I had a lovely experience there, lovely. I had a serious learning Torah experience there, mostly of Tanakh. But I really also went to the Chug, which was called Tanakh Toshba. And the Chug Tanakh Toshba, this is 40 years ago, no, 37 years ago. Rav Yosef Carmel, who today is the Rosh of Eretz Chemda, taught us a class that was called Torat HaMishpat. And we had a Xerox Choveret with his curriculum. I was fascinated by what he taught. And after, I think, more than 10 years, I realized, and I even met him, I said, Rav Carmel, you know what I realized after 10 years that you taught us? You taught us Masechet Sanhedrin. But it wasn't called Masechet Sanhedrin. We never had Masechet Sanhedrin. I don't think even he had a Xerox page of Gemara, but the entire curriculum was Masechet Sanhedrin translated into Torat HaMishpat. So Mechlela Beit Vegan did not teach Gemara, and they were the first serious institution for women's learning Torah. And then 30 years ago, it would say even 32 or 3 years ago, we started Midrashet Lindenbaum. And I think that the biggest change of understanding then was that women were not only come for per class. I prepare Gemara at home, and then I'll come wherever I come to learn my Gemara class with Rav Gravinder or someone else. But it was really understanding. And I think that if we go back hundreds of years ago, at least 100 years ago, I think the same thing happened, like when Reb Chaim Lehavdil, or Lo Lehavdil, when Reb Chaim opens Yeshivat Volozhin, right? Until Yeshivat Volozhin, for years, people were learning Gemara. We're learning in every shtetl had the Rav teaching 10 people, right? The chiddush of Yeshivat Volozhin was that he wanted to organize it. He really wanted that people, that young men should come, and they should have, right, a chadar ochel, and they should have a dormitory, and they should have a scholarship. The big breakup of Yeshivat Volozhin then was that it will be organized, that Yeshiva Bachur won't be like this batlan that has to sit in his shtetl with the Rav, but he really will be respected. And I think a lot of things, like when I, you know, learned by Etkes 30 years ago about the Mosad HaYeshiva Ba'et HaChadasha. And I think things that happened in Mosad HaYeshiva Ba'et HaChadasha, the course that Etkes gave in the history department in Hebrew U, things that we see in the women's institution, which the first thing is, it's going to be an institution. But the biggest question was, what type of an institution would it be? And 35 years ago, Shalom Lezehava, 35 years ago, it was really a learning Torah institution. When I came, I got to Midrashet Lindenbaum, it was 30 years ago. And there was already a program before me for 3, 4, 5 years of women age of 20 after Shirut Leumi, and they learned Sunday to Thursday. They learned very, very seriously. Sunday to Thursday, I see Tamar, Professor Tamar's, Rabbanit Professor Tamar Ross's name here. I don't know if it's the Tamar Ross, but I assume it is, as a mamash lechavodli. And Tamar taught in that program then. They were very, very serious, and they learned Gemara, and they learned Arab Kook with Tamar, and they learned Jewish philosophy. But they came at Sunday at 2 o'clock, and they left at Thursday at 2 o'clock. And that was deeply a serious learning Torah experience. It was very, then also very chachani, and it was very, wow, like, that here's an opportunity for young women to learn Torah. I joined together with a group of students which were younger. After 2 years, we joined into that program. We started in a different place, in Midrash Tarova. I'm describing now for a few minutes Midrashet Lindenbaum before I transfer to Migdal Oz. And when I think I was brought up, as known or not known, around and in Yeshivat Har Etzion. We lived in Yerushalayim, but as a child, I spent every other Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Simchas Torah, Shavuos, Purim, Chanukah, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, you name it, we were there, every other Shabbos, around Yeshivat Har Etzion. And also, one of my students, also her father, was the minister of Yeshivat Har Etzion. And she spent the same amount, not every other Shabbos, but she also spent a large amount of time with Shivat Har Etzion. And we started another branch of Lindenbaum. It started in the Old City of 17 students, which they were younger. They were 18. They were not 20. They were not after Shirut. And they really, really wanted a yeshiva experience. They didn't want only to learn Torah. They were looking for a 24/7 Avodat Hashem experience. And I think that's the biggest change that happened, that it shifted. And I think that's what Migdal Oz's dream really is. I think the beginning of the Ma'apecha was women learning. But from my point of view, the strongest point of the development was that women were not only looking for an intellectual challenge in Limud Torah, which is for sure part of Avodat Hashem. I'm not doubting that. Okay, the serious learning came from their deep religious heart, soul. But I think that young women then, and they were younger, and they were literally, I want to say crazy, but they were very, they really wanted something they were not, and they came and they said, we don't want to come Sunday at 2 o'clock and leave Thursday at 2 o'clock. We want Shabbos. We want Yom Kippur. We want Purim. They started, we want Leil Hoshana Rabba. We want a Chanukah party. We want a Tish. We want Simchas Torah. We want Shavuos. And that mindset of saying that learning Torah or yeshiva statement, and I think that from my point of view, as Esti, then Liechtenstein, walking around the world, I was, as a woman, exposed to a very, very men's experience of what a yeshiva is about. I really knew that a yeshiva is not only very brilliant shiurim. I knew that a yeshiva is a very intense chavaya of avodat Hashem, of meeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In learning, but from learning through my olam shel tefila. I think that's when Migdal Oz celebrated 20 years. We wrote very clearly and specifically that we're inviting you to this, to celebrate 20 shnot Torah v'tefila. In that combination, which is very challenging ad hayom, because I think that's one of the questions of women's batei midrash and their curriculum, which is women learning Torah, is not so
revolutionary.
Revolutionary, thank you, Leah. It's not so revolutionary as women in the world of tefillah. How do you combine a bet midrash with the women, which are not cannot create 3 times a day tefillah? Bamuvan amitishon tefillah. We can dive in together, but we cannot create kedusha. And therefore, but that's those challenges will come later on. I want to start with that. That I think that we talk about women's learning Torah, or women's curriculum, or the revolution of women's world of Torah. I think the biggest revolution is the understanding that what was open to women, which is open for women today, what McDonald's want women to have is not only the option of knowing how to learn Torah, learning Gemara, learning Tanakh or Machshava in high level, but it's really Shivti Bevet Hashem. It's really an experience of building a holistic world of learning, which understands that that you cannot learn. It's not only an intellectual experience. So that's what I want to say as the introduction. Now, Migdal Oz is not a midrasha and not a yeshiva. It's a bet midrash, and that also was a very specific aimed choice to call ourselves a bet midrash. And I think that symbolizes maybe the question that I'm asked to talk about, which what is our curriculum? What do we focus on? It's not a yeshiva because we have a different curriculum than a yeshiva. The day looks differently. And that's a question. And I also think that we debate adayom. Will we change it? Will we change? Want to change? Drisha that opened 5 years ago called themselves yeshiva. And before they opened, the heads of the Beit Midrash, Rosh Yeshiva, there is our alumni. So I meet her and I say to her, when are you? And then the year was like this past year. August and Elul were completely, September and Elul were completely, Rosh Chodesh Elul was like August 13th. It was like in the middle of August. So I meet her and I said, when are you starting? So when are you opening? And she said, Mashu kmo chet o tedvav be'elul. As amarti la, lama be'tedvav be'elul? I said, oh, you know, Migdal Oz also started then. I'm not criticizing. So I said to her, why are you starting then? So she says, you know, we can't start before. We have women teachers. We have this. We have that. We can't start August 13th. But then I gave a smile and I said to her, but you're yeshiva. Yeshiva matchila b'Rosh Chodesh Elul. I said, well, but we can't. I know you can't, but that's why I'm not a yeshiva. Because if I'll be a yeshiva, I'm going to have to exactly, yeah, women have different needs or different options or different maybe limitations. Now, it's really a very interesting question because the world of women's learning Torah today, their calendar is not Rosh Chodesh Elul to Tisha B'Av. It's beginning of mid-August, beginning of September, connected to, yes, I would never start later than Yudbet Be'elul. But last year we started Yudbet Be'elul. Ve'ayishiva itchila be'Rosh Chodesh. And we don't go through the entire summer. My advanced Gemara Shir does, but my younger students don't. That's a very, and some of them are angry about it. It's something that I would want to change, but I think that also symbolizes that the world of women's learning Torah has a different sometimes mindset than the world of men learning Torah. You can see it as a privilege, you can see it as a good, as an advantage, as a disadvantage, but I think that's a fact, that it's a bit different mindset. So we didn't want to be a yeshiva. We didn't want to do exactly what the men are doing. We wanted to reevaluate the curriculum of what the yeshiva is doing. And on the other hand, we didn't want to be a midrasha. In Israel, women's learning Torah places are called midrashot. And midrasha is a new modern word that really symbolizes that you only talk and talk. I wanted to be at Bet Midrash. Bet Midrash, in one hand, symbolizes the connection, the tradition. Rabbi Akiva had a Bet Midrash. בתי מדרש, כשהגמרא בברכות כותבת תפילה, הוא כותב בכניסתו לבית המדרש מתפלל. So he wanted to be something which is completely traditional. יש לו מסורת אבות. On the other hand, we wanted to be something that has their own independence of not being exactly what's happening in the world of the yeshivot. Not because we were not satisfied, because I think that we felt deeply that maybe it's going to be a new creation, a child, but not an identical, not identical institution. So what, how is it different really? And what are the advantages and not advantages or the challenges today in the curriculum? Migdal Oz is be'etzem two institutions. Is one institution, and I think this question also, the question that goes to all the world of the yeshivot, what's the aim and the goal of the yeshiv? To raise balabatim or to raise talmidei chachamim? And when I build my curriculum, who do I think about? Who do I see across of my eyes? Do I see across of my eyes that kulam po will be talmidei chachamim, but I know they won't be talmidei chachamim. So I want to focus on them being balabatim. I want to focus on them being balabatim. I have to teach them things that will be more related to their world of balabatim. Now, if you're going to be a balabat, a very good balabat, but you're going to learn 24-7, 24-6, okay? How are you going to do this year? That's what happens in the yeshiva, at least the yeshivot that I know. The entire year, you learn masechet yevamot, or masechet ketubot, or masechet whatever. You finish 5 years of 5 masechtot, and sometimes you leave the yeshiva and say to yourself, okay, but I'm not going to continue on more than daf yomi. Is what I learned in the yeshiva effective towards the challenges, the questions that I will be faced in the world when I leave the yeshiva and I go to Harvard Law School? What do I need? Maybe in Harvard Law School, I really need the ability of learning 5 different masechtot in depth and in the entire year. But are those really the things that will give me the best preparation of being a good Baal Bayit, of engaging in the world and balancing between my Avodat Hashem and my day-to-day life? Now, I don't know if what I'm saying now, we sat down and thought through, but Migdal Oz, as Lindenbaum, I said in Drisha, it's a bit different now, really teaches for Shana Aleph. Now, whoever comes to me for Shana Aleph, I assume, Shana Aleph, I assume, come for 1 year. Okay? Most of it. I'll give maybe a bit of information. We have 120 students with Shana Aleph. We have 40 students with Shana Bet. We have 20-something students with Shana Gimel Daled. Then we have 10 women with Tochnit, the high advanced Gemara Halacha program. And from the first day that Migdal Oz opened, we always had Shana Bet. It was always, the focus was always, this is not a 1 year institution. You come here, we brought students that learned Shana Aleph in other places. Migdal Oz opened 25 years ago with 29 students with Shana Aleph and 11 students with Shana Bet. Now the biggest dream was, and it sounded to us like really a dream. Okay, that's the proof that dreams come true. That if ever, ever someone will pay a scholarship for a woman for sitting and learning Gemara, anything else just for sitting and learning, that would be Yemot HaMashiach. Because that would be the recognition that someone thinks that women learning Torah is something that it's not only my private, what I do for myself, but really, yesh leze chashivut kilatit. And that dream came through, not only in Migdal Oz. Migdal Oz is an advanced moral program, Lindenbaum is an halacha program, Matana is be'alacha, Drisha has, women today, I even say in a sad way, there are more scholarships today in the market than there are students that want to learn. And that is like Zekilu. Not only the dream came through, it came through in a, maybe the operation succeeded, I don't know. But really the more scholarships. Now what happens on, so we started 3 mornings Gemara. That's the minimum that every student has to learn. three mornings Gemara, from 8:30 to 12:45. And there's also advanced programs in Shana Aleph that you can choose in addition, one more morning and two afternoons. Now, there's a lot of addition Gemara options, but they're not the basic unit. Half a second. The basic unit is three mornings. Now, we do have a lot of more advanced. You can learn 20 hours Gemara a day, not a day, a week. You can have a Gemara at night, Seder. You can have Gemara Daf Yomi in the morning. You can have another advanced Gemara program for another three afternoons. You can have many more programs in Gemara. But one of the questions, should there be 5 days of the 5 days morning Seder every day from morning to night as the equivalent boy that goes to Yeshivat Har Etzion will have for himself. Now, do I have students that want that? The answer is yes. Do I have a lot of students that want that? Do I want them to be exposed to another, more options of Tanakh, Malalacha, Machshava? I feel that I want to broaden their Jewish skills. Do I feel that the Gemara is not enough for them? Or maybe that the Gemara is not every... I'll say it like this. There are a lot of boys that would be happy to learn in a Beit Midrash for women, focusing on the curriculum of how much Gemara is learned, or that there's a basic unit of Gemara. But learning Gemara all day is a choice. You have to choose it. It's not something that's taken for granted. I think that's the basic question. Now, B'Shana Aleph, you have to take three mornings Gemara. B'Shana Betu, you have to take three mornings Gemara. B'Shana Bet is an option of choosing what type of learning Gemara I want. There's one Ram that teaches Gemara much more analytically, and one Ram that teaches Gemara more, I would say, focused on questions that are not only textual questions and not only of giving them tools, but also of more deep spiritual questions throughout the Gemara. Now, one of the questions also that raised a lot in teaching Gemara three mornings a week, that a lot of students think that's not enough. A lot of students think that I'm not going to continue on in learning Gemara. I came here for a year. Should I spend three mornings? Now I want to talk about the perspective, not of the student, the perspective of the teacher. What experience is he supposed to give you? Do you want to give tools in intellectual or deepness of, I would say, the brisker derech of analyzing a sugya? Is that something that we want to do? But then the student can say, will I continue or not continue? Is there an ability, Bichlal, in three mornings to give you the option of just knowing how to analyze a sugya on your own? The truth is, no. When a student says to me at the end of the first year, I'm not sure I can now, better she can learn biyun. She can learn b'kiyut after three mornings. Now, some students come with a strong background, but some students come with no background. And then they ask, okay, so why is the Gemara the center of the way the institution is organized, okay? It's divided into groups. Each group has a Ram, and you meet your Ram three mornings around the Gemara. For sure, they know that Gemara is you have to come to Gemara. You don't have to do anything in the afternoon. I mean, you can choose in the afternoon whatever you want. But all the students have to come to Gemara. But one of the questions that they ask themselves is, will I continue? Now, if I had the institution, I knew that everybody here is continue on Liyot Talmidat Chachamim, I would teach Gemara differently B'Shana Aleph. But since I don't know that everybody is a continue, most of them won't continue. So we have 120, 40, 20, 10. So when I'm thinking about looking at the student and saying to myself, what does she need? Okay, the American, I'm focusing now on the American student that comes to me. We have around 30 American students every year. An American student comes to me. She wants to learn Gemara in the highest level 5 days a week in a very intellectual, analytic way. You can all see Leah Sana smiling. That's what she wants. Now, she's not going to continue. She might continue learning Gemara, כמו בעל הבית טובה, but she's not going to continue on learning Gemara. Now, when I look at that student and I say to myself, okay, she's going to continue on next year to Harvard, Princeton, or Yale. Not all of them, but some of them. And she's going to have to cope with so many things. Do I only want to teach her Gemara on the highest level intellectually, which she for sure sees as part of Talmud Torah and her Avodat Hashem? Or do I want to discuss with her some more issues in her religious life that not all of them are discussed through the highest level Gemara Shir? And I think one thing which is very interesting in the balance between women's institutions and men institutions is the balance between how much we learn, only learn, and I'll say now an expression that can sound a bit strange, and how much do we talk? Now, I understand we don't talk in McDonald's, but we do talk in McDonald's. I hope that I am understood. When I look at my student, I say to myself, okay, she's learning every advanced Gemara program. But I also want to talk to her about the translation of what happens in Gemara to her Kiyum Mitzvot, to her questions that she's going to deal with as a religious woman. Ovedet Hashem in 2022, what does it mean? What decisions will she have to make in college? Reverse her secular, non-Jewish environment. What is the balance between... Now, during the day, we learn very seriously. At night is night seder. Do I cancel night seder in Gemara? Because I want to talk about questions regards... I don't know, the balance between what do I do on my free time, okay? I want to discuss the relationship to what will be her choices in life. Or I want to discuss tefillah. I want to discuss emunah. Now, I completely know that I can discuss tefillah and emunah through Masechet Brachot. But sometimes I want to help her adjust what she had learned in Masechet Brachot. My father has a famous story that one summer, he spent the entire summer learning and 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 learning. And then my grandfather, the Rav, came over to him and said to him, tell me, when you eat, do you adjust? Also, when you learn Torah, you have to adjust what you learn. Stop learning so much. And I think that in some way, when women... institutions of learning Torah build their curriculum of learning, they took that memra of the Rav under consideration. When will they adjust? Now, adjusting doesn't have to come through talking or singing. Adjusting can come through also that after a Gemara Shir, I will learn also the Agadita on that Gemara, or I will learn Tanakh, or if I learn Masechet Brachot, I will also learn, go through the entire Tanakh. When I finish the year, I have the option of also finishing the Kuzari, or finishing Moreh Nevuchim, or finishing Masechet Brachot, or finishing Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, or finishing the entire Tanakh. Now, I think that women's institutions ask these questions more than men's institutions, because now in Israel, there's a new thing called Mechina, okay? The Mechina before the army also asked these questions, but these questions asked in Migdal Oz are asked differently than in Shivat Har Etzion. Now, I must say, not because of Migdal Oz, because maybe about the world. The world has changed. And Shivat Har Etzion in the past 30 years has changed too. And Shivat Har Etzion today also talks more than it talked 30 years ago. There's also the understanding that the students cannot only learn the entire same masechet for the only curriculum of their entire day. Now, when I was young, they learned in the Gush the same masechet, and you could at 6 o'clock go to a Tanakh shiur, or mostly a Tanakh shiur, or Machshava shiur, or shiur of Rav Soloveitchik. Today, you could already do that at 5 o'clock. And there's more options of shiurei, even in the yeshiva, which is called shiurei chetzorayim. Now, Migdal Oz has Seder Boker, Shazei Maram, Vezei Gemara. Then it has afternoon classes. Now, you can choose an afternoon classes to learn a lot more Gemara. You can even choose an afternoon classes to take 3 more Sidrei Chetzorayim B'Gemara. But you choose that. Now, there's a lot of questions about what I'm describing now. Because first of all, you have to learn, but we want to teach Gemara very seriously. Can you teach Gemara very seriously in 3 mornings, or teach Gemara very seriously when it's not the center of, it is the center of the week, but it's not always the center. There's more options of learning. Now, some girls come to Migdal Oz because the Gemara, they only want to learn Gemara. Some girls come to Migdal Oz despite of the Gemara. They don't want to learn Gemara, but they want to come to Migdal Oz. And also because they understand that they have to be exposed to what Gemara is about. And I said, this is my debates towards Shana Aleph. Then we have a completely different dream, which sometimes also it's not easy, because if I had a student coming in B'Shana Aleph, and I think the yeshiva copes the same questions, coming in B'Shana Aleph and saying to me, I want to be a Talmid Chacham, he would have like a maslul number 1. And if you come and say, I'm only here for 1 year, but they don't know when they walk in. Most of the students, and they walk in, there are very few students, and they walk into the Beis Medrash and say, oh, we're here for 7 years. Now you can learn in Migdal Oz today Gemara straight for 7 years, because you learn in Shana Aleph, then you learn in Shana Bet, and then Shana Gimel Daled, then you learn in the advanced Gemara program. It's a 3-4 year program. We have students literally now finishing 7 years straight in Migdal Oz, and they open more midrashot, and they teach us Ramiot, and you can see Leah sitting here, which she didn't spend so many years in Migdal Oz, but other options of women learning Torah. And really, today, the generations have Talmidot Chachamim. But I think that the women's institutions are more sensitive, or I can say more sensitive, I can say more realistic towards the understanding of what balance between how many students will come out as Talmidei Chachamim and as Balabatim. And the assumption walking into Shana, for my one year program, my assumption is I want you to be Ovedet Hashem, have a serious religious life, and not assuming that you're going to continue on for Torah for the next 7 years. And then there's a second Migdal Oz, which is the Migdal Oz. Now it's combined. That's why it's not really the first one, the second. Every student that walks in Shana Aleph knows that there's another more, 7 more years to go if she only chooses it. And she's a bit pressured to choose it and to debate it. But even though when I talk to her as if she's going to be a Baal Bayit. And then B'Shana Bet or Gimel, then I start to talk to the student and I give her a curriculum of learning Gemara, which is 4 and 5 mornings and all day, and she only learns Gemara. The advanced Gemara program talks 1 hour a week. We do have discussions even in the advanced Gemara program, but they're 1 hour a week. And I don't cancel a Gemara shiur for that. And I don't, it's very clear that their curriculum is completely only Gemara, and that's their focus. And they really come out with Talmidot Chachamim. But now, I see that I'm running out of time, but maybe a few more things that I can point out. There's differences in what Israelis and American mindset of intellectual are looking and learning. Now, of course, it's a very generalized statement, but the American students sometimes we have a different Gemara Shir from mostly American students, which come with an American background, which are looking for much more learning, which is much more analytic, much more intellectual focused, much more analyzes in Israelis, asks more spiritual questions about the learning. And it's mamash that some Israelis, some American students, cannot sit in an Israeli Gemara shiur. They find it, now, of course, it depends on the Ram, it depends on tons of things. And sometimes they find it, kilu, not challenging enough, it's not fast enough, it's not analyzing enough, it's not intellectual enough. We're used to a different background of learning and habits of learning, and what are we looking for in our learning Torah? I think that's very, very interesting. It makes it, once I walked into a class and one of the Americans said something, so one of the Israelis said, wow, I used to think I'm so intellectual until I came here and I met the Americans. And then the American students looked at her and said to her, oh, I used to think I'm so spiritual until I came here and I met the Israelis. So there really are differences in learning habits in between American high schools, American religious culture, what Americans discuss as religious questions and what Israelis discuss as religious questions. It's fascinating to see the differences. And our American program is completely combined within our Israeli program. And every year we debated the question, should or shouldn't us open a focused American Gemara shiur? Now I can say that in advanced Gemara programs in the afternoon, high percentage are Americans. In the morning, everybody learns Gemara. In the afternoon, some of the Americans, most of the students are Anglo-Saxon background. They can be Israelis too, but they have an Anglo-Saxon background. Now, I find it fascinating to balance in the same time an institution that has a curriculum that believes that Gemara is the center of the heart of the world of Torah learning, that we want every student, and they meet their Ram and their Kvutza, and the most energy is put into, we want the Gemara to be the center. But even though they're exposed and encouraged to learn things which are not only Gemara, out of understanding that today they need to, maybe things that they'll need to cope, not to cope, to be, I don't know, to cope is not the word, to be a serious religious person in Harvard Law School or in any other place, to take the religious life seriously. Some of them need to discuss issues which not always will be through the Gemara. But it's still, I really want to connect them to be part of Masorah Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is completely going through the Gemara. They have to learn Gemara. In the same time, to have integrate. No, thank you, Leah. In the same time, to have a serious option of understanding that we really want to be raised Talmidot Chachamim that will sit for 6, 7, 8 years and be Ramiot. Now, in Migdal Oz today, okay, we just had a parent evening, the three of the groups, we had one Ram and five Ramiot, all of them graduates of our advanced Gemara program. We really have serious students that have learned for years and years. And even though when they learn, I think they also, I said, the advanced Gemara program also has a weekly workshop of talking, understanding that we always want to make sure that the intellectual, powerful challenge, Bagmara, and I think she's the Baruch Michazal, they really combine it within religious issues that change and develop from year to year. The heart is in the Gemara, but I think we also have an option of taking what learned in the Gemara and translating to what type of religious leader I will be. One more thing that I'll mention, then I think, right, I should open for questions. One more thing that I want to mention is, for sure, the biggest challenge in women's institution is what I said before, the balance between Torah and the tefillah. because the more we have, and that's not under the I was asked to discuss the curriculum, but the biggest challenge, of course, is if I have today is 16 staff members, so 11 are women. 11 are women, also out of the Ramiot B'Gemara. We have seven groups, five women teachers, and no, three men and six women. So completely. And then you want to be Mechabed Yaramit, Anya Brit, or Anya Chupa, or whatever, or just creating the world of tefillah. Or just how does the balance between women's issues, and one of my students, a young student who came for 1 year, said to me, oh, I didn't really want to deal with women's issues in this year. But there's no, but she said, but I understand that there's no way to sit and learn Torah, to be part of a very powerful Bet Midrash, which is mostly only women. We have a few men teachers, and not ask myself those questions, either why I learn, or why I daven, or how does Shabbos look here, or how does Yom Kippur look, or how does Slichot look? And these questions are, from my point of view, also fascinating. And because what I said in the beginning, I didn't want to create a base medrash that only learns Torah. I wanted to create a base medrash that learns Torah and has a strong aspect of tefillah, of an entire experience of being here on Shabbat and being here on Yom Kippur and being here on Simchat Torah. And that, and I think that's the only way that you can teach Torah intellectually, seriously, in a high level, if it's combined naturally, not even by talking or discussing. It's maybe that's why women's institution talk, discuss more than men's institution. Because when you have the tefillah, just there, you see, you run the world of Avodat Hashem, which is not only in learning, but it's also in feeling of tefillah. It's there all the time. You don't have to discuss it. You just experience it. Now, we try very hard to engage the word of tefillah too within Migdalos, but it always raises questions. Where will my minion in the morning come? Where do we lay? We're not going to lay. A lot of questions, I think, that are very fascinating. And I think it's a big zchut to be part of this world and ask those questions and give young students the confidence that they can do both and they have a place in the world of Torah and tefillah and Avodat Hashem. So I think that in one, I would say, lesikum, in one place, we are completely continuing the assumption of the world of Torah, that Gemara is the center of the world of learning, but there are more options for students to choose different choices. There's options of how, there's challenges of how do you teach Gemara when it's not 20 sdorim a week, but only 7 sdorim a week. What do you focus on? How do you balance between those things? And how do you balance between in the same institution raising balabatiyot, which you want them to be very powerful and serious, and also raising talmidot chachamim. That's what questions can I answer?
Thank you very much, Rabbi Nit Rosenberg. You mentioned during your decade of learning with Rav Carmel, you studied Tashbab, Torah Shebaal Peh, only to later realize that it was Masechet Sanhedrin. What is the cycle of Gemara Masechtot that are studied at Megalos? What was the process of deciding which tractates would be studied? Who decided the order? Does the cycle parallel that at Yeshivat Har Etzion? Are the Siddurim of Kachim and Taharot studied at Migdalos? And are academic methods of Talmud seen as legitimate exploration of study within the walls of the Migdalos Beit Midrash?
So I'll start from which Masechtot we learn. There's a cycle, more or less, of Psachim, Sanhedrin, Brachot, Baba Batra. Those are more or less B'Shana Aleph. Now, we do have a problem because when I think what's relevant, what can I teach a Talmidah that comes for 1 year? Some of them have a strong background. Some of them don't have a strong background. The advanced Gemara program does not learn the same as Sechet, the Shana Aleph learns. Like the concept of having a Shiur Klali doesn't work because we assume that what the girl needs in Shana Aleph, what I would say differently, what the women needs in the advanced Gemara program, there I wanted to go through, as you said, Nashim, Nezikim, Moed. Now, we don't teach Nashim v'Shana Aleph. Why? Because I think that I'm not sure that a student that learns 1 year Gemara, I wanted to cope directly with the personal feminist questions that Masechet Kiddushin raises. I do that b'Shana Bet, I do that b'Shana Gimel Dalet, I do that in an advanced Gemara program, an advanced Talmud program. I don't do it b'Shana Aleph. I think that we discuss a lot of feminist issues, but I'm not sure I want to involve them within the Gemara learning. I want the Gemara learning to be a bit easier. But even though now they're learning Zman Kaitz, they're learning Chagiga. You learn Chagiga. I'm not talking that half of them are learning Daf Yomi Yevamot, but we're learning Chagiga. So even b'chagiga, yirei kol zchucha et pnei Hashem Elokecha, that also raises questions that we didn't think about it. Now, if I would think about, would I change it? I don't know if I would change it. But my Ramit came to me with tears. You don't want to teach Kiddushin, but you want me to teach yirei kol zchucha. The beginning of Masechet Chagiga, she said, it's hard. She said to me, as a Ramit, it's hard for me to teach it. So b'shana Aleph, it's more Baba Batra, sometimes Baba Metzia, Sanhedrin, Perek Shmini, Perek Rishon, Perek Shlishi, Brachot we didn't do for a long time, Psachim, Arve Psachim, Tchilat Psachim, that's a Shana Aleph Kelekli. Shana Bet learns Baba Metzia, we want to shift them towards Mizikim, and the Advanced Gemara program in Shana Gimel has 1 year Gittin, Kiddushin, Baba Batra, Baba Metzia, Shomrim, Baba Kama. I would say more Nezikim and Nashim than Moed. Because they did Moed b'Shana Aleph and they don't want to do it anymore. So that's the curriculum. For sure, Ramim, women's institutions are much more flexible to bring academic perspective. I would also say, you know, I have different types of Ramim. I have Ramim that teach more, they focus. I have a Ram that has a doctorate b'Talmud from Bar Ilan. I have a Ram that came out of Yeshivat Siach, which is not Yeshivat Har Etzion. It's much more focused on, he's a student of Rav Shagar. And I have two Ramim that came out of Yeshivat Har Etzion. So I think there's something much more flexible in women learning Torah, that they're not they don't see themselves that they have to exactly learn the same tradition from Balojin. Some students are very enthusiastic by Shana Bet. I said you can choose. The Advanced Gemara program is much more focused as Yeshivat Har Etzion. The Advanced Gemara program is similar to what happens in the higher levels in Yeshivat Har Etzion. Rav Blumenzweig teaches, Rav Gigi teaches there, Rav Bigge gave a shiur there. Every year there's another Rosh Hashiva that gives the shiur klali. And it's much more focused towards the Valojin Brisk. Did I answer anything I forgot?
Yes, that was very helpful. And related to that, someone sends in a question that you raised. You discussed the role of the study of Gemara in Shir Aleph. But is Iyun Halakha, the study of in-depth Halakha, studied at Mishir Aleph as it is in peer institutions?
Yes, for sure. I can't say peer institutions because I think we teach more Gemara. Gemara is, I always don't remember, Gemara is a chova. Halakha, I don't force them to learn halakha. There's three options. There's another morning. There's a morning that you can take halakha biyun, but you can also, across halakha biyun, you can take Tanakh biyun and Machshava biyun. And there's another two afternoons of halakha biyun, but Migdalos is built in a way that the Gemara Your teacher in the Gemara is waiting for you. Zeram, Zeram, the Gemara, the institution is focused around the Gemara Shir. It's not focused around the Halacha Shir. The Halacha Shir is recommended. But some girls do not want to learn Halacha Biyun. There's Dvar Halacha every day. There's Seder Erev v'Machshava. But it's not enforced. It's offered. Very seriously. But you can take Halacha and you can also take Tanakh in the same time. You can finish Mishnah Brura Chalakim Aleph Bet. You can also finish the whole Tanakh. So you can finish Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. You can finish a Masechet B'Seder Erev. You're not forced to do Halacha, but I think it's very encouraged.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else have a question to ask before we finish up? Someone sends a question here and a message, wondering about the influence of your father in the curriculum development at Migdal Oz, and if it was seen in parallel with the curriculum development at Yeshivat Har Etzion. Or in other words, do you have conversations with the Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshivat Har Etzion in deciding the curriculum that's studied at Migdal Oz?
So I'll say like this, when it's interesting, because when I said to you now, Migdal Oz started with three mornings Gemara, I stopped for a second and thought to myself, when did we decide that? Who decided that? Do I remember sitting with my father and deciding that? That was the curriculum that I came from Lindenbaum. And my father did take women's, as you all know, I hope you all know, my father took women's learning very, very, very seriously. But he always knew that there were differences between he didn't ask us in any way to open it in Migdal Oz, Yeshivat Har Etzion. And he was quite proud of Migdal Oz, and he gave a Gemara Shir at Migdal Oz. And my sister, my younger sister, was she learned in Migdal Oz, and then she wanted to continue on when she was already, I think she was 23 or 24. She wanted a high level. She said to my father, I want to learn with you, Gemara. He said, okay, I'll come give a shiur in Migdal Oz. There were 12 women in that shiur. It lasted for 2 years. I was there too. My father taught the highest level Gemara shiur for 2 years in Migdal Oz. He believed in encouraging women to get to the highest level of Gemara, but he also encouraged and for sure approved of a different curriculum for Shana Aleph. It's not something that he said to me, what are you doing? You should do this differently. I want them to learn a three Zdorim Gemara a day. He didn't think that. He really thought that there's an advantage in creating a different curriculum for women. And that's the same thing that I'm describing in Migdal Oz all the time. In one hand, my father thought there should be a different curriculum. In the second way, he thought what his shiur was completely high level for the women that wanted to come, and he taught them in the highest level, and he encouraged the advanced Gemara program. My discussions with Rosh Yeshiva are mostly on the curriculum in the Gemara, in the high Gemara level. Sure, that's completely led by the Rosh Yeshiva. They have a complete say about the advanced Gemara program. They less get involved with what happens in the younger Gemara Shirim. When my father was alive, he used to interview every Ram in Gemara that started to teach in Migdal Oz, and he had approved of his Shita in learning Gemara. But he approved the Ramim that I think he would not take to Yeshiva. He did approve them in Migdal Oz. Not because I think he thought that women have to learn differently. No, we have two types of options, and I think that he thought that maybe, I don't know, but he did approve of Ramim that came not only from Yeshivat Har Etzion, but the advanced Gemara program is completely Yeshivat Har Etzion.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rosenberg, for your lecture today. We look forward to welcoming you in person on campus at Harvard Law School during your next visit back to Boston.
That's and, in 3 weeks. Back to Boston. Okay.
And we look forward to seeing everyone here in person soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you too. Sarah Goldberg. Yes, Sarah Goldberg. So happy to see you. And Batslacha le kulam. And thank you for listening. And you all, I'm inviting you all to come to Migdal Oz and see. It's a wonderful place. You are invited. Thank you. Batslacha.